Lesson 121. Part 1. Warming up exercises. Spatial relations. Furniture arrangement. You are going to hear some information about the furniture arrangement in a room. Listen carefully. Write down the names of the things mentioned in the right positions. Well, it's not a large room, but it's cozy. The furniture is well arranged. You will find a bookcase to the right of the door as you enter the room. The room has plenty of light since it has two windows on the west wall. In between these two windows, there is a TV set. A big sofa is put close to the east wall, facing the TV set. In front of the sofa, you will see a big coffee table. A bed is placed in the northeast corner of the room near the sofa. In the northwest corner near the window is a stereo. In between the stereo and the bed, there is a wardrobe. You can also see a standard lamp beside the sofa on the left. In the corner near the lamp, there is a desk. Are there any chairs in the room, you may ask? Yes, there are three. Two of them are placed in front of the TV set, and the third is between the bookcase and the desk. Pre-listening discussion. Before you listen to the passage, have a discussion on the questions you hear on the tape. What do you think are the functions of the family? Can you mention some different forms of the family in human societies? What are some of the important factors influencing the family structure?
Throughout history, the basic unit of almost every human society has been the family. The members of the family live together under the same roof. They share the economic burdens of life as well as its affectional joys, and it is the family which has primary responsibility for the important task of raising children to adulthood. The family is not a uniform concept in all societies. In many places, it is an extended group which includes uncles, aunts, cousins, and in-laws. The family head usually has considerable influence in arranging marriages, selecting careers, and determining all important moves and purchases by any member of the family. Particularly in conditions where society or the state does not give aid, and where consequently the responsibilities of the family are greater, this larger group provides better protection in times of economic or other emergency. In many other societies, including most industrialized ones, the nuclear family is the basic social unit. This term refers to a husband and wife united through marriage and their dependent children, whether natural or adopted. Industrialization and urbanization create many specialized jobs which tend to scatter family members among different employers and thus to separate residences as soon as they become wage earners. The small family, which has only one, or if the wife works also two, employed members, is better able to adapt to rapid change and to move when the job moves. The nuclear family is almost universal, and the nuclear group of father, mother, and their children is recognized even when it is part of an extended family. There are cases, however, which strain the definition. Polygamy, for example, brings several wives and their children into the picture. But polygamous households are not common in any society. More difficult to explain are the cases of divided residence. Among the Ashanti people of Africa, where the wife and husband do not reside together, the child gets training and affection from the mother's brother and learns that his mother's husband is not his family. An even stranger situation existed with the Nayar of India before being changed by outside influence. There, the household consisted of brothers and sisters and the sisters' children. The sisters were not married, and the brothers simply took care of whatever children their sisters had. Inheritance customs also have an influence on the structure of the family. In England, the farm was passed on to the eldest son in order to keep the family land intact. Younger sons had to go out and start a new farm, or join the army, or move to town and take up a trade. They provided a large part of the labor supply during England's industrialization process. In many areas of the European continent, all of the sons shared equally in the inheritance, and more extended households were common. Although the exact form varies from place to place and time to time, we can say that the family is the original and the most natural social group. The ties we develop by long intimate association with the small group of persons who are biologically related to us cannot be matched in any of the forms of communal living which are tried every now and then.
Exercises. Complete the outline with the information you hear on the tape.
In Britain, family life has changed a great deal in the last 50 years. Many factors have contributed to this change. In this dialogue, Maria and Margaret are talking about some of the differences in family life in the old days and today.
I suppose that in England, too, family life has changed a lot in the last 50 years, hasn't it?
Oh, yes, very much so. I think families used to be much larger. My grandmother was one of 14 children. Very few people nowadays care to have such large families.
I suppose that's why in those days very few women took up careers outside the home. They were too busy bringing up their families.
Yes, but most well-to-do families had servants do the housework and even nannies to look after the children.
Would you like to have lived then, Margaret?
Not particularly. Women weren't as free as they are today. They often had to marry men they didn't like, and they were financially dependent on their parents or their husbands. I think we're much better off today, don't you?
Well, I suppose we have more freedom of choice, and we're more independent. But you know, some arranged marriages were very successful. And there was something rather charming about courtship in those days.
Really? Such as what?
Well, the custom of asking a girl's father for permission to marry her, for example.
And supposing he didn't give his permission? No, thank you. I think family life is much pleasanter today because it's freer and more informal. At least today we're free to marry whoever we like and to take up a job if we wish.
That's true. But I still think that family life in the old days must have been very pleasant and secure. Do you think young people are given too much freedom nowadays? And that as a result, they've lost respect for their parents and their elders generally?
I don't think so. My parents never interfered with my plans too much. They advised me, but never forced me to do anything I didn't want to do. I was allowed to take up the career I wanted. I think I respect and love them more for this.
Are you quite independent of them now?
Oh, yes. As soon as I left school and started my studies as a nurse, I became independent financially. I have a government grant, which is enough for my keep. But I still stay with them a lot, as you know.
You seem very close to your parents.
I am. I know that many young people today say they have nothing in common with their parents, but I'm rather lucky because I get on very well with mine. What about you?
Well, we value family life very much in my country. I'm very fond of my family, but I don't always get on very well with them. They try to control me too much.
But they allowed you to come to study in England on your own.
Yes, but only after a lot of persuasion. Your parents treat you as an adult. Mine treat me as a child.
As I said, I'm lucky. Some English parents are like yours. They interfere too much and they're out of sympathy with our generation.
Exercise 1. Fill in the blanks with the speaker's viewpoints in note form. Exercise 2. Circle the numbers of the phases that describe the parents-children relationships in Margaret's family.